Genesis chapter 41 will be our consideration this morning. While you remain standing, we shall read the word of the Lord. Genesis chapter 41, verse 50-52. I'll read 50, you're coming in 51 until we get to 52. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bear unto him. Verse 51, everybody. I need to hear that loud and clear. Want to go again? And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, he said, has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Verse 50, in the name of the second called he Ephraim. Can everybody tell me what it means? For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Let's look at 51 again. We'll try to do it together again after the count of two. One, to go again. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, had made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. 52, everybody again. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God had caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. The Lord bless his word this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Would you please help me look at three people around you and say to them, embrace your future. Say like a minute to somebody, say, embrace your future. Embrace your future. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Take these words and inspire them by your spirit and bless a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. Let them not return the way that they came into this building. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless us in the way that only you can. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you. May be seated. Two monks. Well, you hear the word monks. That's not strange to some of us. For some of us, it's a little bit strange. If you were in the 80s, the popular films in the 80s, the Shaolin. Anybody ever watch Shaolin here? Where people died before they died. Amen. Where people scream before bullets hit them. Wow! Wow! Cha-chow! Now, in those days, some of the most strongest of the Chinese people were the monks. The monks in our Christian parlance, the monks are people you call like the Reverend Fathers. Those who don't get married, they are consecrated and absolutely surrendered to Buddha. They served his cause and lived their lives mostly in isolation in the monastery. Now, two of those monks were traveling on a pilgrimage, an older monk and a younger monk. They were both traveling together for a pilgrimage. And so while they were traveling, they got to a river and they needed to cross the river. It's a very popular story. And when they needed to cross the river, they now discovered that there was a woman by the riverside who was crying, an elderly woman. She was crying. And so they needed to figure out why this woman was crying. And they discovered that the reason why she was crying was because, of course, she can't cross the river, so the river does not overflow her. So she was looking up for somebody that would be able to carry her across the river. Now, by virtue of the callings of these monks, they were not supposed to touch women. And they were also trained to be very compassionate. So here we have a situation whereby you are trained to be compassionate and there's a just cause for compassion. And your training also tells you not to touch a woman. But you were just two. So the older monk decided to carry the woman without talking to her. He carried her and crossed the river with her. And the younger monk, as soon as he saw the older monk carrying the woman, he was screaming, "That's wrong, that's wrong, don't do that." The monk didn't listen, the older monk didn't listen to him. Carried the woman across the river and then dropped her. As soon as he got to the other side of the river, he dropped her. And shortly after he dropped the woman on the other side of the river, the younger monk began to taunt him. "But I thought our calling forbids us from touching women. Why did you touch that woman? Why did you carry that woman?" And the older monk just kept on going and will not answer him, just kept going. "Why did you touch the woman? You've not given me an answer. I didn't demand an answer from you. Why did you carry a woman?" The older monk still did not answer him, just kept on going. They went for long distance, went for hours, and the older monk didn't talk to him. Towards the end of the day, he said, "I was asking you a question. I've been asking you since morning. You've not asked me a question. Why did you carry the woman?" And the older monk looked at him and said to him, "I only carried the woman across the river. But you have been carrying her since morning. I only carried her across the river. And as soon as we crossed the river, I dropped her and I continued my journey. But you have been carrying her along with you through your journey. Help me touch your neighbor and say to the person, drop her across the river. Don't carry her along." Okay, so that doesn't look as if I'm gender insensitive. Just say, "Drop it after the river. Don't travel with it." And if you were offended by the first one I did, you can look at a man and say, look at a lady or a man, just say, "Drop him after the river. Don't carry him along." So you can revenge. It's okay. The story is so clear. Some carry their past for a short while and drop it where it belongs. And many carry it for a lifetime and never walk away from it. Today we want to drop our past right where it belongs and embrace our future, that which God has designed for us. It is one of the secrets of supernatural success. If you want God to help you like you have never seen God help you before, let go of the past. Let go of the past. Would you please help me preach to someone around you and say, "Let it go. Let it go." And please, whatever it means to you, it could mean Daniel, it could mean Daniela, whatever it is, let it go. Just let me look at someone again and say, "Let it go, let it go." Yes. Now I may turn to someone else and say, "You look like someone that needs to let something go. Let it go, I'm all right." Yes. I didn't hear you talk to somebody. Say, "You look like someone that needs to let something go. Let it go, I'm all right, I'm all right." Amen. Pastor Sean needs to let something go, amen. If all my pastors lay hands on him and let it go, to be hallelujah. I want to speak to you this morning on embracing your future. Embracing your future. In Genesis chapter 41, where we read from, I will just bring out two names and we'll use that to establish our discourse this morning, and I will just round up the service. A very simple, straight service for me this morning. My assignment is very focused this morning. If I will achieve that, I'll be so grateful and go back to God and report that I have done that which He asked me to do. This morning, my assignment in the first service was to ensure that I challenge some people to decide in a very qualitative way so that they can have a productive life. In this second service, I've been challenged by God to challenge you to embrace your future. But before we embrace our future, it's important for us to understand how Joseph was able to do it. How did Joseph, a boy who was grossly offended by his family members, look at the kind of pain that Joseph went through. How did Joseph manage, permit me to use that word in our today's language, how did Joseph manage to pass through the cracks and the creeks and emerge at the top as one of the leading people in the whole land of Egypt? That was phenomenal success. How did God help him? This morning I established the fact that his decisions were vital. He decided to do some things, and that was why God could help him. Supernatural success is divine assistance. When we're talking about supernatural success, we're talking about God helping you to succeed in a way that you will never have succeeded left alone by yourself. If you think you are successful now, looking at how you have been able to work so very hard, I want you to imagine what will happen if God steps in and begins to lead the path for you. Joseph became extremely successful from the backside of the desert. He came to the forefront of it. The reason was very simple. Joseph made a very major decision. And the first decision that Joseph made was to forget his past. Somebody said, forget the past. Yes. As we say forget the past, I'm not saying delete the past. I'm not saying that pretend the past did not happen. That's not what I'm talking about. When we use the word forget the past, we are saying that you should become selective in terms of what you choose to think and to focus on. So you need to recognize and intentionally select experiences and memories that you must stop or start thinking about. When we say forget, we are saying select memories and select experiences, past experiences, past memories. Select the ones that you have to quickly forget. But Mr. Lassisi bet me when I was in primary school. The truth of the matter is that has the marks are no more on my body now. So it's in vain for me to waste my time thinking about Mr. Lassisi who bet me when I was in primary four. Am I talking to somebody here now? So it's not that I can't remember if I choose to, but I choose to forget it. What that means is that I am selective in the way I think. I choose not to think about such things. The guy who lied about me or against me in secondary school. I choose not to think about such kind of things. Not because I don't remember it. Not because I'm trying to repress it. I knew it happened. I remember it happened. I remember where it happened. I remember it hurt me. But I choose not to think about it. That is what forget means. Selective memory. Decisions to choose what to think about and what not to think about. Recognize and intentionally decide. Now there are some things that will be left where they belong, and that's right in your past. Let me touch your neighbor, say choose to select. Yeah, say to somebody, yes, decide to select what you will be thinking about. In my last sharing with them in one of the services, I did say there are three important things, but I want to extend it to four. Four important things that you must choose to forget. One, past achievements. Past achievements. And please, when I'm talking about past achievements, I'm saying that you should make up your mind to forget certain things that you've achieved in the past that does not carry future possibilities anymore. And I give practical examples. When it comes to time to select a new manager in your office, I hear you are also campaigning that they should make you a manager. And people were asking you why you should be a manager in your office. Saying you started telling them, listen, when I was in primary school, I was a head boy. I was a head boy. You people don't know I was a head boy. I was the head boy of my primary school, so make me a manager. Hello, please, let me say this. It's good for your records that you were a head boy, but let me just tell you this now. That is not relevant to this. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Selective memory, choose to forget past achievements that carries no future possibilities. Stop thinking about things that happened in the past, and I'm even talking about good things. Praise God. Man, I remember my 404. Sorry. Okay, so everyone know 404. Anybody know 404 here? Ha.
404. Do you know 404? Huh? 404 that has, you move the gear. Amen. Now, let me ask you, what is the value of 404 today? And that's what you are showing your children. Now, there's nothing wrong to show them that that's where you started. But please, stop talking so much about 404 as if it carries future possibilities. Some of us are stuck in our past because it was good. And we forget that it may be good, but better things lies ahead. I said it before, people die easily in Nigeria. People die too young. Honestly, sometimes I think one of the reasons why sometimes in Nigeria it's not the way it should be. But some of the reasons why I think it happens in Nigeria, that people prosper late in their lives. It's because if Nigerians prosper too early, they will die very early. When I mean die, they will be alive until the appointed time of death, but they have died from the time they began to succeed. See, Nigeria hit 10 million now, the world won't hear anything again. See, 100 million enter the hand of a Nigerian now, the world doesn't hear anything again. Are you following what I'm saying? A guy was sharing with me, he said, Pastor, himself and his partner, he was the one that used his car, they entered into a partnership business, but the partner was the one whose company they used to get the jobs. You understand that, sir? So he actually got his car, gave to the partner for them to run the business and all of that. Eventually, the best business came through, and the partner, of course, had a larger share because it was his company and all of that. He said, Pastor, guess what, sir? They've not finished the job, sir. The partner has bought about 7 different brands of cars. Jeeps, the latest Jaguar, you know. And he said, oh, boy, we never finished work. I said, don't worry, the work will be finished. The work will be finished. As far as I'm concerned, that guy is already finished before the work is finished. Some of the things you need to let them forget. Past achievements that carries no future possibilities. Stop going around. Don't you know me? I used to be the commissioner of works in the old Ondo State. So what should we use that to do now? We should use that position to grade road or what? What's the value of your past position now? Let me ask your neighbor, say, what's the current value of your previous achievements? Current value. Don't you know me? Sir, introduce yourself, sir. I used to pastor in the village. The value in the city is what we're looking for, sir. What's the value of your pastoral ministry in the village, in the city? Maybe we should speak monitoring language like you rightly said. What is the exchange rate? Help me. I really want to get to somebody today. Help me touch your neighbor. Say, leave past achievement behind. Whatever you have done ceases to be a potential. Whatever you have done ceases to be your potential. Whatever you have accomplished ceases to be your potential. The true worth of a man, it's not just dependent on what he has accomplished, but what he can still accomplish. The reason why life is worth living is not because of what we have achieved, but because of the things we can still achieve. One of the things Joseph said, as soon as Joseph had his first son, he said, I will call this one. I decide to call him what? Manasseh. Meaning water. God has made me to water. Forget. Somebody say forget. Now listen to this carefully. One of the things he said the Lord helped him to forget were the things that happened in his father's house. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? What Joseph was simply telling you was that, listen, he said, I used to wear coat. You imagine, sir, what would have happened if Joseph had gotten to Egypt. And then when he got to Potiphar's house and he said to them, hey, sorry, madam, please, this kind of cloth you give to me, I don't like it. So, in my father's house, if you know how I used to dress, I used to wear a coat of many colors. So, Joseph would have never amounted to anything. You know what Joseph did? I love the coat of many colors that I had in my father's house, but right now I must let that go. Is that okay? I remember it, but I choose not to focus on it. Now, the reason why sometimes, Pastor, the reason why a lot of people, when they have a little temporal setback, the reason why many die or many go into indebtedness is because they have created a class for themselves while they had money that they couldn't sustain in a long time. That's why I said to you that, listen to me, hear me very well now. If you make 100 million in one business deal, please, you only have 100 million in your account. It doesn't mean yet that you are a millionaire. Your account holds millions, but you are not yet a millionaire. A millionaire is one who can regenerate millions over and over again. So don't confuse yourself with your account. Your bank account is in Zenith or First Bank. It holds millions, but you are not yet a millionaire. You are a millionaire when you can regenerate that money over and over again. Now, the problem is this. Because my account holds millions, the next thing that I do, sir, is that I now begin to live like a millionaire. Only for you to come to realize that you are living a life that you can't sustain. And the challenge there is that your past achievement that carries no future possibilities can become your limitation. So one of the things you need to forget is your past achievement, particularly the ones that carries no future possibility. Number two, forget what I call faded glories with no current values. Faded glories with no current values. Because you were not born to live in the past. Faded glories that carries no current value. Number three, forget past associations that carries no future prospects. There are some persons that need to walk out of your life in order for God to walk into your life. Amen. Stop dragging anchors from the past into your future. There are some persons that need to just walk out of your life for good. Amen. Just need to go. Number four, forget past failures and past mistakes that carries no future implications. Forget past failures and past mistakes that carries no future implication. You fail, so what? Failure is the food of champions. Champions fail several times before they succeed. Those who fail are those who are heading somewhere. You don't stumble if you are heading nowhere. People who sit somewhere don't fall anywhere. So failure is okay. And let me say this carefully. I like to define the failure in the way I've been told, and that has been ingrained into my mindset. That failure is an opportunity for you to start all over again intelligently. Nothing wrong with failure. Nothing wrong with failing. In actual fact, the person you should be afraid of is the person that doesn't take risks. If you're ever going to become anything in life, you need to learn to take some risk. Amen. In fact, they always say to you in the business world, high risk, high returns. Is that not what they say? High risk, high returns. So, the first thing to do if you're going to succeed in life, if you want to embrace your future, the first thing you need to do, first of all, is to forget. Is that okay? And I've showed you four things you need to forget. Now, can we quickly move into the heart of what we need to remember today?
the things that we need to do in order to embrace our future. What did Joseph do to become the kind of success that Joseph became in the land of Egypt? The greatest tragedy in life is not what happens or has happened to an individual. The greatest tragedy in life is not the loss of a car, loss of a friend, loss of a loved one. The greatest tragedy in life is not a divorce. The greatest tragedy in life is not that you become a widow or you became a widower. The greatest tragedy in life is that you refuse to open your hands to embrace the things that are coming into your life. The greatest tragedy is that some things have happened to you, and as a result of that, you will not open your hands to embrace the things that are coming into your life. It's the greatest tragedy in life. And Joseph will not let that kind of tragedy to happen to him. He said, I know too much, I've done too wrong in my life, but I'm not going to let my hands to be kept in my past. Again, I will illustrate that today so that it will communicate some sense of value to you. Can I have Pastor John come speak with me?